So the first reading is Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. And the next reading is from chapter 6, verse 6 to 11. Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. And the last reading is Proverbs chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits will have plenty of poverty. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Amen.
It's in prayer. Dear precious Heavenly Father, we come into your presence, dear Lord, and we just thank you for this time that you have brought us here this evening. We are so thankful for your work, dear Lord, that you are doing in the midst of your family at Harper family here. And we are thankful for all the blessings, dear Lord, for meeting us this morning in a wonderful way. And I would just pray as we gather together here this evening, dear Lord, and we just open your word, that the Holy Spirit of God may be our teacher this evening. I pray, Father, Lord, as we learn from the book of Proverbs, the wisdom, Father, Lord, wisdom of Solomon, this help us that we may be able to apply these truths in our lives and help us to be able to see what you are teaching us in these verses. We ask in Jesus' mighty and strong name. Amen. Amen. In today's busy world, it is easy to assume that we are all, by and large, working more hours, working longer hours than the generations before us had worked. If we see the hustle and bustle of city life, if we see how people are engaged in their work schedules, one can think that today people work more hours than they had worked in the centuries of 19th century or 18th century before us. The researchers and economic historians Michael Hubum and Chris Mines suggest that in the 19th century, people across the world work extremely longer hours. But in the last 150 years, working hours have decreased significantly, particularly in today's richest countries. They suggest that the workers in early industrialized economies worked more than 3,000 hours annually. This is equivalent to 60 to 70 hours per week. However, since the Industrial Revolution, people in many countries have become richer and their working hours have reduced significantly. In Germany, for instance, annual working hours have decreased by nearly 60%. And in the UK, working hours have decreased around 40%. Does this mean that people are less hardworking today than they were 150 years ago? Does this mean that people in the richest economies work longer hours, work more hours? That's why they bring more money in the country, and people in the poor countries work less hours. There are several other factors to be considered when we answer these questions. For instance, in the 21st century, in the richest economies, high labor productivity, advanced technology, and better infrastructure played an important part. Thus, it helped to reduce working hours in these economies. On the other hand, people in the 17th or 18th century worked more hours because of poor infrastructure, low labor productivity, and the lack of resources they had. This is hard to say if the current generation is more hardworking than the generations before us. However, we all are called to work. Whether you are in paid full-time job, or you are a volunteer, or if you are a student, maybe you are a housewife, work from home, we all have certain responsibilities to fulfill. The question we are going to consider this evening is how we approach our work. Do we approach our work with joy, or do we approach our work with dread? Do we approach our work with diligence, or do we approach our work with dismay? This evening, on week 3 in our series titled Bodybuilding, from the book of Proverbs, we will be looking at the subject of hands. And this will be our first slide. So the title of this message is The Hand of the Diligent. The Hand of the Diligent. The aim of this series is to learn about different body parts from the book of Proverbs and see and to teach us the fear of the Lord and abstain from evil. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10 tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It means to have the right understanding of God and our right response towards God. The right fear of God and the right way we live is interconnected. The fear of the Lord gives us the wisdom to live a life that brings honor and glory to the name of our Lord. The fear of the Lord gives us the wisdom to do the right thing in our work, in our relationships, in our character, in using our finances, or in using our tongue. The fear of the Lord directs every aspect of our life. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. This will be our main text this evening as we look into this subject on hands. And we will unpack these verses under two main points. First of all, the first point we will look is the hands of a sluggard bring poverty. And the second point will be the hands of a diligent bring prosperity. So let's see what Proverbs teaches us about this first point, the hand of a sluggard bring poverty. Our hands play a significant role in our day-to-day life, especially for bodybuilding. If you do some exercise, you would know that hands play a significant role. If you are doing biceps, if you are doing triceps, you're doing chest exercise or shoulder exercises, you need your hand. They are very useful. Hands also play an important part in our lives, in different areas of our lives. For example, hands can be used for great purposes, or they can be used for great evil. We can help others with our hands, or we can hurt others with our hands. We can serve others with our hands, or we can oppress others with our hands. We can use our hands diligently and productively, or we can be sluggard or unproductive with our hands. Under our first point, we will look at three different characteristics of a sluggard man in the book of Proverbs that the author gives us. So first of all, we will see in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. The Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4 tells us, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. The 10th chapter in the book of Proverbs begins with a new section in this book. It is set off by the words, the Proverbs of Solomon. We learn that the majority of Proverbs found in this chapter are in contrast between the first and the second line. It is to point out the difference between the wiser and the foolish man. The book of Proverbs, and also in some of the Psalms, we see there are so many verses, those are full of parallelism. It means the second or parallel line explains the first. It helps us to examine the relationship between line A and line B. And sometimes the author gives us a contrast between the first and the second line. And this is we see in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. Here we see a contrast between a person who has slack hands and he brings poverty. And secondly, the person who is diligent with his hand makes rich. So we see this. It gives us an idea of a person who works carelessly. A person with slack hand works carelessly. He is sloppy about using his hands, or he is not very serious about his work. He doesn't put all his effort into something that he starts doing. He doesn't take it seriously. He does it half-heartedly. Rather than striving to do excellent work, a person with a slack hand would say, the effort that I have put in my work, it is good enough. He does not try to build himself or learn that how I can do a better job in what I am doing, how I can excel, how I can improve my work and do a greater job than I have done. A person with slack hand, it gives us the impression of a person who thinks the abilities that he has, he is using all of those abilities. He doesn't try to improve his work. He doesn't try to work harder to do to polish his abilities or to polish his skills. He thinks that what I have done is good enough. The author of Proverbs, by saying this, a person with slack hand causes poverty. He is showing us that the person who thinks in this way, whose mindset is in this way, good enough work what I am doing. When he thinks in this way, he is giving a warning. If we have that type of thinking, then probably we are heading towards a person who doesn't have any job. He is telling that a person with a slack hand needs to step up his game. He needs to do a better job. He needs to find out the ways in what way he can improve his work, he can improve his job and do a better work. This verse is not so much about doing work or not doing work, but it is more about how we do our work. Sometimes people have this idea that work is something that is a punishment from God because of the original sin, because of the sin of Adam and Eve. But we read in the book of Genesis that work was established by God even before the sin. We learn in chapter 2, verse 15 of Genesis that the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. God initiated the work for Adam and Eve. It was God's original plan for them to work and provide for their families. However, we know that after Adam and Eve's rebellion against God, after their sin, God cursed the ground. We read in chapter 3, verses 17 and 19 that God said to Adam, "Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it, and all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. And the same principle applies to the whole of humanity. It applies to you, it applies to me as well. The sweat that Adam experienced after the fall is the stress that we feel at work. The curse brought sweat and stress into our work. It also brought fatigue and tiredness because of sin. Our work is hard. It is difficult, and sometimes we do not have the energy to do our work. But we all are called to work diligently, no matter if we feel like it or not. We are called to do our work with great diligence, with all our heart. We read in the book of Colossians, chapter 3 and verses 23 and 24, whatever you do, work heartedly, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to work heartedly. It gives the idea of doing our work with our heart, mind, and soul. And doing it with the understanding that we are not doing it for someone, we are not doing it for a man, but we are doing it for God. For all those we work for, we must serve as if we are serving God. It can change our thought process when we consider that the work we are doing it for the Lord. I believe if we are thinking it in that way, then we will put more diligence into our work when we know that I am doing it for Jesus Christ. I am not doing it for my boss. I am doing it for the King of the Kings and the Lord of Lords. Whether you are a teacher, whether you work in retail, or you are a lorry driver, or if you are a nurse or a doctor, remember, you are doing this work for the Lord and not for man. And when we do our work with this mindset, Apostle Paul reminds us that God has our inheritance as our reward. So we have seen this in the first part of our message, that the writer of Proverbs gives us the first characteristic of the sluggard man, that he has a slack hand. Now, we will look at the second, our second characteristic. This is our sluggard refused to feed himself. A sluggard refused to feed himself. And this is, we will see in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 24. If you please turn in our Bibles, Proverbs 19, 24. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish and will not even bring it back to his mouth. This is a perfect illustration of a person, if you think about that, who is extremely lazy. He is sitting on a sofa watching Netflix program. He has got a ball of popcorn. He puts his hand in the popcorn ball and just leaves it there. The person is too lazy to bring his hand back to his mouth and eat those popcorns. This verse actually gives us this impression of a sluggard person who does not take advantage of his resources. The person who thinks that the resources, those are available for him, he is so lazy. He is so lazy in his thinking, in his work, that he does not use them properly. It gives us the impression of a sluggard person who has a prey, but he refuses to kill and to eat it. He is not bothered about it. Laziness in Solomon's day described farmers who made excuses for not working in their fields. We read this in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4. He who observes the wind will not sow. and he who regards the clouds will not reap. A sluggard finds excuses not to work. The sluggard finds that there is, he says in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 13, the sluggard says that there is a lion in the road. There is a lion in the street. And he refuses to go out and do work. The sluggard person always finds excuse. And he always tries to justify his or her excuse or his or her laziness that there are some other problems. Sometimes a sluggard person makes a smaller problems, bigger problems. And he justifies that he is not able to do his or her job properly because there are some other issues going on. Because of this approach, the sluggard invites poverty in his life. He rebels against God's curse on the work and refuses to labor by the sweat of his face. The author of Proverbs draws our attention to those who are physically able but refuse hard work simply because of their laziness. We see in our society some people in our society, maybe they would love to work. They would love to have a paid job or a volunteer job. But because of their health issues, because of their disabilities, because of, in some cases, because of the visa status prevents them, they are not able to work. But here we see that this lesson is, or Proverbs teaches us about the person who is able to work, who is healthy, but just because of his laziness, he's not able to work, or he doesn't want to work. So we have seen a sluggard person who has a slack hand. We have talked about the person who refuses to feed himself. And the third characteristic we see in this book is sluggard person. He loves his sleep. A sluggard person who loves his sleep. And there are so many different verses in Proverbs that we can go to that explains this idea of the person who loves his sleep. But we will just look into very, very quick on Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9 to 11. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9 to 11. And here the word of God tells us, "How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man." If you have noticed that one theme it's common in these verses is that because of the sluggardness, because of the laziness, it will bring poverty. And I believe that the author of Proverbs is teaching us that if we are not active, if we are not thinking properly and we are sluggard in our lifestyle, in our way of thinking, then it can bring poverty to our lives as well. If we do not think that we need to do a better job, if we are slack, if we are not using the resources that God has provided us, if we are not using them, we are not thinking about them, it can bring poverty to our lives as well. Here it gives the idea of a robber, that poverty comes like a robber. It is without giving you any time that the poverty will come, without giving you any warning. And it is like the armed man who comes in without giving you any warning. The poverty comes like that. In these verses, sluggard is addressed directly. Here the author asked two questions. First of all, he asks the question, "How long will you lie there, O sluggard? How long will you lie there, O sluggard?" And second question we see, "When will you arise from your sleep?" The author makes the person realize his responsibility and to shame him. The question, "How long," suggests that his laziness and his sloth have become an established pattern. He has become habitual and has he is the sluggard, does not feel anything wrong about his habit. I think at some point in our life, we all can feel sometimes a bit sluggish. We all can feel sometimes a bit tired. But I believe that the author of Proverbs is talking about a person who makes it his habit that he is always like this. He always feels tired. He always loves his sleep. And he's not bothered about what's going on in his life. He doesn't take care of everything else. The second question he asks in this verse is that when his appetite for sleep will be satisfied, when he realizes that his pattern and his habit is leading him towards poverty. We see in the book of Proverbs, sleep is a blessing from God. We also read some verses in the book of Proverbs or in Psalm where it talks about the sleep. For example, we read in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 24, "If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet." The psalmist writes in Psalm chapter 3, verse 5, "I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me." These verses show us that living wisely causes us to have a sound sleep. We know the Lord watches over us. We know that Lord takes care of us. We know that we have a relationship with God and we have the fear of the Lord in our lives. And that's why God is giving us the sound sleep. He is taking care of our affairs. Sleep is a gift from God to rest and have peace. In fact, God commanded the nation of Israel to rest and keep the Sabbath day holy. God commanded them to work 6 days and then enjoy the rest that God has designed. So sleeping is a good thing. Our bodies need sleep. But we need to make sure that it does not become a habit that other affairs of our lives, our work or other things are disturbed because of that, that we become so lazy in our sleep as well. So we see in these verses that the author gives us about the three characteristics of a sluggish man, of a sluggard man. And in our second point in our message, we will see the hand of the diligent brings prosperity. The hands of the diligent bring prosperity. Now, we have, as I said, that we see a parallelism in these verses as well. We will go back to chapter 10, verse 4, and we will see the second part of verse 4, and we will talk about it, that what the writer is teaching us here. "A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." Now, people have different ideas about rich and the poor. For some people, only those they are millions of money, those are billionaires, they are considered rich. Rich and those who work a minimum wage job are considered poor. We live in a prosperous country and we are thankful that most of the people here in our society have food to eat. They have shelter over their heads and clothes to wear. In the times when the Bible, when the book of Proverbs was written, someone would consider poor person if they don't have a bread to eat. According to this proverb and reading of other scriptures, riches and wealth come gradually with diligent hand, with working persistently, with diligence, with what God has given you. You work in that and you work your way up. The hand of the diligent makes rich. Generally speaking, those who spend or invest their money wisely can make more money and build wealth. It does not always happen, but there are some examples where people made some wise decisions in spending their money, and now they have become rich. For example, The CEO of Chick-fil-A, a fast food chain in America, shared in an interview that he worked a menial job. He worked hard and often worked overtime. He was diligent in the work God called him to do, and God blessed his diligence. He received a promotion in his job and gradually started his own business. After the hard work of several years, he has become the owner of Chick-fil-A. You might have heard similar stories where people from humble backgrounds went on to become CEO of their company, and their hard work and diligence paid off. However, so many people in the world who work hard work long hours. So many people, they work in difficult conditions but still live in poverty. It could be a systemic problem. It could be discrimination or poor infrastructure. That's why they are not able to get richer, or that's why they are not able to save money for themselves. Some hardworking people are indeed poor. Some people, they don't work hard, they are poor, but those who become rich are diligent in their work. They are persistent and disciplined in their work. They are successful in their field because of their diligence. We read in Proverbs, which often draws this contrast, the diligent are exalted, but the slothful are criticized. We see in Proverbs chapter 12, verses 24, the hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. And this later term refers to the oppression or a cruel form of bondage. It tells us that contrasting verb will rule carries the idea of absolute power and authority. Those who are diligent and work hard are generally promoted and trusted with responsibility to lead. For example, we see in the Bible, there are so many different examples where people, they were diligent in their work. They responded to the call of God, and then they were given promotion in what they were doing. First example I think of comes about Joseph in Genesis. We read that he did his job faithfully. He was diligent in what God called him to do. And then we see that because of his right attitude, because of his hard work, he was promoted and trusted with more responsibility. We also see in the life of Noah that he was given a task to build the ark. Noah followed all the instructions God gave him. He worked diligently, and what God asked him to do. He did not work with a slack hand, but he worked diligently. He followed God's instructions and worked faithfully. The Bible tells us that he did all that God called him to do. And because of Noah's obedience and his faithfulness, he was able to save his family from the flood. We know that Proverb gives us good teaching that is helpful on a practical level, help us to think diligently, help us to work diligently in our work that we do. But we need to be careful with our diligence of work that can make us spiritually sluggard at times as well. I will read this quote from Bob Sclerets. He is the author of Created for Work, Practical Insights for Young Men. In his book, he writes, "The grand quality of diligence, which is essential when you begin working, turns a man into a workaholic if not balanced. The freedoms that bless the industrious becomes snares when given to selfish pleasure. The diligent are tempted to forget God, trust in riches, and look down on the poor. What once was the reward of hard work quickly transforms resources to fulfill the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Be on guard. God designs the diligent to collect resources and talents with the goal to use them in an appropriate season for good. As always, Jesus leads us by his example. Sometimes our diligence towards work can turn into a snare if we are not careful. It is easy to be occupied with work, with our studies, that we do not have enough time to read our Bibles, to spend time in devotion or having a fellowship with other believers because we are so busy or we are so diligent towards our work. It is easy to read these verses in Proverbs and think that I am diligent in my work, in my studies, in my home. I am not sluggard as Proverbs teaches us. Maybe we are doing well in all the other areas of our life, but not so well in our spiritual life. As we think of using our hands diligently for work and not being sluggard, we can learn from the example of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ diligently accomplished the plan of the Father. He stayed diligent on his way to the Calvary and on the cross. He was diligent when he bore our sins so we could be adopted in the family of God. Let's follow the example of Jesus. Be diligent in what God has called us to do, but most importantly, in our life, in our call for the Lord. We have read the passage in the beginning, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Can I ask you that, do we have the fear of the Lord in our hearts? Do we see this world with the lens of fear of the Lord, and we work in every area of life whilst thinking that I have the fear of the Lord in my heart? Let's pray. Father Lord, thank you so much for the book of Proverbs and the wisdom that we can learn, and those practical images and those practical things that we can learn and apply in our lives. But Father Lord, most importantly, we are thankful for Jesus Christ, our Lord, for his obedience and for his diligence on the cross. Because of him, we can have the everlasting life. Because of him, we can enter into the kingdom of God. Dear Lord, help us as we think about these different verses and we reflect on that. Help us that whatever work our hands may find, we do it diligently. Help us that we may know that what we do it for the Lord and not for man. Help us in our walk with you, Lord, that we may stay diligent and we may not work as a slack hand as the proverb teaches us, but we may work as you have called us to do. We ask in Jesus' mighty and strong name.